Back here on Celebrating Our Musical Future, tonight a special edition, a special episode featuring Rutgers University and the Mason Gross School of the Arts. From last November, a concert stage version of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, as performed by the Rutgers Symphony Orchestra, the Rutgers University Kirkpatrick Choir, our cast of soloists, which we will run down in a moment, all under the direction of the director of orchestras at the Mason Gross School of the Arts, Maestro Kynan Johns, and the director, also director of opera at Rutgers and co-director of the Opera Institute at Rutgers, Pamela Gilmore, and the Kirkpatrick Choir. Choir was prepared by Patrick Gardner. I'm David Ozenberg here with Michael Konecki, who's host of our Sunday opera. In this opera, everything is heated up as we move into Act 2.
As we go downwards, because in Act 2 we are in the sub-basement in the dungeon, where there is only one prisoner, and that is Floristan, Leonore's husband. And he's chained to the floor, and he has a dream as the act opens that he sees Leonore again. And oddly enough, she happens to come down the stairs. Of course, she's dressed as a man and she's in disguise, but she sees him and almost loses her composure. He sees her, doesn't really recognize her. They give him a little bit of water. She gives him bread and says, "Don't lose faith." And he said, "Okay, I won't." And then they dig the grave. And when Rocco is done with the grave, then he signals Pizarro to come down and do the dirty work, because Rocco said, "I'm not going to kill him." Pizarro comes down, draws his dagger. Leonore takes her gun, and she holds him off. Of course, then Don Fernando arrives, and we find out the Floristan is Don Fernando's friend, and he's amazed because he thought he's been dead for a very long time, but he's so happy, he rejoices that Floristan is alive. They arrest Pizarro because he's been doing all sorts of dirt throughout Spain, and they free all of the prisoners. There's amnesty, everything is happy, with a joyous ending, and Leonora takes off the shackles from Floristan. She frees her husband, which I think met with a little bit of consternation, because the woman had the power over the man, but Beethoven was quite adamant in that no, the woman had the power here, and she did save her husband, and she deserved to take off his shackles. So there's a very happy ending.
Yeah, it's a very much more active role for a woman than what we get in the Wagner operas, where the woman simply acts as the redemptive vessel for the man who's gone bad.
Or she gets stabbed and dies, or dies of some disease. Yes, in this one, she gets to live, and she gets to have a happy ending.
And she is the hero.
Right, and poor Marceline, she's either stuck with Iachino or nothing, so she's a little upset.
So let's hear Act 2 here. Let's run down our cast quickly once more. Leonora is the Metropolitan Opera soprano Amanda Pabian. She is an alum of Rutgers University and the Mason Gross School of the Arts. Our Rocco is Andrew Moore. Our Marceline is Yunjin Jung. Our Giacchino is Chris Giorgetti. Floristan is sung by Brett Pardue. Don Fernando by Colin Levin. And our Don Pizarro by Robert Mellon. Again, all under the direction of Maestro Kynan Johns. In this second act, as we mentioned earlier, we'll begin with the Rutgers Symphony Orchestra led by Kynan Johns performing one of the other four overtures Beethoven composed for this opera, the Leonora number 3, Act 2 of Beethoven's Fidelio.
So deep.
I really thought we could not even find the entrance.
There he is.
He seems quite motionless.
Perhaps he's dead?
You think so?
No. He is only sleeping. We must take advantage of that and set to work immediately. We have no time to lose.
It is impossible to distinguish his features. God, help me if it is he.
Here, under this rubbish, is the old well I have told you about. We don't have to dig far to find the opening. Give me a pickaxe and then come and stand here. You're trembling. Are you afraid?
Oh no, it is only so cold.
Then get to work. Working will make you warm enough.
Erfahrt. Thank you.
the guards accompany the overseer up immediately.
Thank you.
and the joyous and successful conclusion to Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio. This a concert version, as given last November at the Nicholas Music Center at the Mason Gross Performing Arts Center on the Douglas campus up in New Brunswick at Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, the Rutgers Symphony Orchestra, along with the Rutgers University Kirkpatrick Choir, our cast, Leonora, Amanda Pabian, Rocco, Andrew Moore, Marceline, Yunjin Jung, Giacchino, Chris Giorgetti, Floristan, Brett Pardue, Don Fernando, Colin Levin, and Don Pizzaro, Robert Mellon, all under the direction of Maestro Kynan Johns. The director of the opera was the director of opera at Rutgers and co-director of the Opera Institute at Rutgers, Pamela Gilmore, the choir prepared by Patrick Gardner. It is rare that we bring you a complete opera on Celebrating Our Musical Future, but I'm glad we could do it, and we did it for a reason. And I am David Ozenberg here, and my co-host is our host of Sunday Opera on the Classical Network, Michael Kanacki. It's because this will kick off a Beethoven week. The week will close with Beethoven's birthday, and as we have done for so many years in the past, we will have a Beethoven birthday bash, having his music all day on Friday as the birthday falls on the weekend. The birthdays, I should say, we're still not really sure if it's the 15th or 16th. Just some closing thoughts, since you have visited Fidelio so often here over the past months with Sunday Opera, and here, thankfully, sitting in and co-hosting this production with me. Just some closing thoughts on Fidelio.
Well, it's interesting that Fidelio is such a strong opera for someone who didn't write operas. I mean, for someone who wrote one, he made it a good one.
Yeah.
But when you think about all of the operas that Donizetti wrote, all of the operas that Rossini wrote, he had excellent operas, both of them, and some real stinkers in there. But Beethoven did it right, and maybe that's why, because he wanted to do it so right. It was such a laborious process that he never did another one. But the story is sound in this. It makes sense. It's got the unities of time, place, and action, and it beautifully flows through. There isn't any extraneous silliness or extraneous things you just don't need to take away from this central story, which was one of pure love. And it does have that happy ending. And after a while, I get tired of everybody dying in operas. There are sometimes too many bodies in grand opera, but this one makes sense. There aren't faraway places. There aren't strange characters. Each one of these characters has a motive that you can totally understand. It makes sense. So in some respects, it's a modern opera. It will always be, because it's never going to be dated. It is an opera that will and can be updated very easily, because everything in it makes perfect sense, and that doesn't always happen.
And it is interesting that he didn't feel the need to revisit opera. Many composers, when they do it, then get sort of hooked. But Beethoven, who poured his creative energy, that great creative energy, into so many forms over and over again. Think of the symphony, the piano sonata, mm-hmm. the string quartet. Kept going back to them because he could keep mining them and keep... Yeah, and this is a man who, you know, due to the deafness, due to his difficulties in his life, his custody case with his nephew Carl, all the things that were difficult later in his life. Yet he didn't feel he needed to go back to the opera stage to do that. He had other forms he could pour it into.
Or maybe this was one that he said, I think I did all right. And he was able to let go and walk away not from going. It, feeling that he did it well. We'll never know. People have been talking yeah. about this for years. I don't think we'll ever really know, because from what I remember reading, he never wrote about it.
Right.
He finished it and just walked away from it, which I think probably gives some people no end to consternation, because they don't have his reasoning behind it.
Well, they'll be playing more Beethoven at the end of this week, as I said, as we celebrate his birthday on Friday with his music all day. Many of you look forward to our Beethoven birthday bash, as it were. As far as tonight, there are a few people we wish to thank for making this broadcast possible. George Stauffer Dean, Maestro Kynan Johns, Lori Guarneri, Jesselyn Traino, Christopher Delgado, Kimberly Borden, Kelly Brown, and the recording engineer for this concert, Gregory Mueller. So I'm David Ozenberg, and I want to thank Michael. Thanks for coming in and co-hosting with me.
Oh, I'm happy to. It's so much fun, and opera is something that I'm fortunate now to bring everybody on each week, because I've been having a great deal of fun, not only with the operas we get and the multiple yeah. Fidelios over the years, but it also allows me to bring you operas that you might not be that familiar with. That's something I know you like to do, bring music to people they don't know. And for instance, coming up for the Christmas holidays, 23rd, I'm going to have two really new operas, Jake Hagee's It's a Wonderful Life and Ricky Ian Gordon's The House Without a Christmas Tree. And that was a favorite television show right. from the 1970s. So that's going to be Christmas offering. And I hope you'll join me for that, because if you don't know them, well, join me. And you've heard plenty of Jake Hagee. He really is up and coming in the opera world. Yeah. In fact, we just did his Moby Dick again this year. So I hope you'll join us for that, but join us for everything. And I hope you enjoyed today's Fidelio.
Of course, you can find Michael Sunday Opera, Sunday afternoon at 3, and then Michael and Ted Otten with the Dress Circle every Sunday evening at 7.
For the past 35 years.
Thanks a lot, Michael. We're going to take another break, and I'll be back on the other side with this extended version. Again, Curtis Calls with Carl Hemmingson, bringing you student recitals from the Curtis Institute of Music from last academic year. We'll come on 1 hour later than normal tonight due to our extended Celebrating Our Musical Future, bringing you a complete performance of Beethoven's Fidelio. But I'll be back in a moment with, what else? A little more Beethoven. Celebrating Our Musical Future is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and WWFM.org. If you enjoy hearing the young musicians of the next generation, which is what this program brings you week in, week out from the great music schools across the country, if you enjoyed hearing these young musicians singing Beethoven's Fidelio tonight, support what you hear by going to our website and making a donation in membership at WWFM.org.